One of the key points of science is to be able to prove your hypothesis. You do that by performing experiments, and one does not do it. But what happens if experiment number two gets the same results, but three, four, and five do not? It happens. And it happens a fair amount, we're told. An article in a recent issue of the journal Science points out the frequent difficulty of replicating results in experiments in psychology. The article, Estimating the Reproducibility of Psychological Science, and has many authors, including Dr. Cody Christopherson, who's an assistant professor of psychology at Southern Oregon University and our guest in the studio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is, I count something like 125 authors in this report. Tell us about this collective and how it came about.
Yeah, it's actually 270 authors.
Really?
So there are authors all around the world who participated in this project. It was begun in 2011 in order to address with data a problem that many have discussed and hypothesized about, but without a numerical quantification of just how bad the problem might be.
And what's the problem then? What was it you were seeking to uncover here?
So it might help if I describe some of how research happens as usual, okay, and then to describe some biases and problems in that briefly. So the way that research in psychology happens as usual is an individual or a lab comes up with an idea of something to test. They protect this idea vigorously until they have data on it because it's possible to be scooped. So an individual has this idea. They begin collecting data. Often you'll collect data until you get what's called a significant result. In other words, enough data that you can show a difference between two groups. Then you send your results to a journal. It's peer-reviewed, which means other researchers look at your conclusions and your data and decide whether it meets rigorous criteria. If it does, then it's published in the journal, and then other people respond to it. There are a few problems with this. One is that oftentimes, the data is not open. In other words, you collect all this data, you run your analysis, and report maybe only the analysis without ever making the data available to everybody who might want to see it. Another problem is that using this method, generally only positive results are published. And so you might do 10 experiments, and the first 9 fail. In other words, don't show a difference between groups. The 10th one does show a difference, and maybe that's the only one that gets published. And it's been impossible to know just how many experiments fail before one succeeds. And so there's been a lot of discussion about what's called the file drawer effect. These failed studies go into the file drawer. Nobody finds out about them. And so this was an empirical way of looking at that and trying to see just how big is that file drawer? How many studies are we publishing that are really chance results?
So how did you get into the file drawer? I mean, if these are things that people file away, it sounds like it's fail, 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 success. Ooh, and that's the one that gets published. So okay, how do you get people to open up their back records like that?
Well, it's difficult or impossible. You don't know which researchers are working on which projects at any one time. At least that's business as usual. And so this study has many possible effects. It can have many possible effects on the field. One such effect is what's called registration of studies, so that there will no longer be a file drawer. If you want to study the effect of color on aggression, then you register the study in advance. Then everybody knows, okay, 20 researchers are working on this project now, and we can all look at their data. They can make the data open, and so the file drawer is then eliminated.
Register of studies would, it seems like among other things, you'd be able to figure out if somebody else had done what you're attempting to do now and perhaps not duplicate somebody else's work.
Exactly. That's another thing that's been essentially impossible to find out until we start using things like a registry, is how many other labs have already had this idea and failed and moved on to something else.
It seems like there'd be a lot of concerns about, well, you talked about people afraid of getting scooped for one thing, but then if what we're led to believe about academia and publish or perish is true, you want to make sure that you're putting something out bold and new and not something that somebody else has done.
Absolutely, that's right. Original research, original results, and an original idea is the sort of the gold standard. That's what you want when you're trying to publish as an individual. And the reason why it's important to publish in this way is for tenure and promotion for university professors, for grant funding for those who are researchers outside of the university system. And really, it's working on a 20th century model of research where it would be difficult to have open data. It would be difficult to have a study registry. Although these are not new ideas, it would have been perhaps not feasible until the advent of the internet. With the internet, these things are very possible and very, frankly, easy and straightforward if there is a commitment in the culture to seeking openness in this way.
Is there any advantage to secrecy other than making sure that the stuff that you come up with is stuff that you can say you authored? I mean, is there any advantage to keeping experiments uncontaminated by outside data or anything else?
There's not. I can't think of an advantage to it aside from sort of professional strategy. In terms of the health of science, openness is always better.
Cody Christoffers is a guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's an assistant professor of psychology at Southern Oregon University, one of the 270 authors, we'll have to figure out which one actually did the writing, of the article Estimating the Reproducibility of Psychological Science in the current issue of the journal Science. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So in particular with psychological studies, it would seem like, I mean, for those of us who are not in the hard sciences, that tricky business here, because you have so many variables with human beings and psychology, whereas with chemistry, atoms do or do not combine into molecules, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is an interesting question that comes up is this failure to replicate something that's unique to psychology? The answer is, so far, we don't know. There have been, there's one similar study that's going on that's cancer cell biology that's modeled in the almost the exact same way as this study, and the results are forthcoming. So far, it does not look good in terms of the reproducibility rate. Studies are not reproducing as you might hope, for even for something that's as non-volitional as cancer and cancer treatments. This is the first large-scale study for any discipline. Hopefully other disciplines would do a similar thing, because the incentive structures that create just what we were talking about, sort of business as usual with publishing, those same incentive structures exist in every discipline. And so there's very little incentive to replicate even in, for example, chemistry or biology and medicine and so forth.
So can you give us some examples of experiments here that replication was attempted on and failed on, and what the fail rate turned out to be based on what you discovered?
Sure, yes. There were really three top journals that were selected for us to sample studies from. And so the pool was one journal called Psychological Science, which looks at all different types, all subfields in psychology. Then the other journal was the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, which focuses on, of course, social psychology. And then the Journal of Experimental Psychology, Learning, Memory, and Cognition, which focuses on this other subfield of psychology, cognitive psychology. There's other big subfields of psychology that were not included in the study, namely clinical and counseling psychology, as well as developmental psychology. The reason is that feasibility of quickly collecting a sample for those fields is low. It's difficult to do that. Particularly for developmental, it can take years to gather one single data point. So the studies were generally social and cognitive. One example of a study that was looked at was looking at this is a study that got some media attention when it happened. Willingness to forgive. Can we manipulate people's willingness to forgive by helping them think about their own capacity for evil or bad acts? This is a study that didn't replicate that for men who were primed in this way or prompted in this way to think about their own capacity for evil, they did not decrease on a measure of vengeance.
Wow, that's some tricky stuff. Is part of the issue with reproducibility, you mentioned that the people kind of holding their own stuff kind of close, do they, once they've published their own stuff, give really detailed a recipe book, in essence, for conducting the experiment, the study?
Ideally, science would work this way, that the method section would be completely transparent and that any lab could look at the method section and do the exact same thing given the time, equipment, and subjects. This is another example of the way that research continues to work on an old model, in a 20th century model, where there just isn't room in a journal to explain every single thing that you did. So you offer a summary and then say, for questions, contact this researcher. With the internet, there's no need to have that type of limitation on your method section. And so this is hopefully one effect of a study like this, is that we can always have supplemental materials on the internet that will make the procedures completely transparent and completely explicit so that more reproducibility can happen.
So no particular manicuring of data whatsoever? All the raw stuff would just be out there for any other researcher to pick up and use?
That's an ideal. And the field is not there at this point. There are movements within certain journals. I mentioned Psychological Science that awards just badges when you make your data open. In other words, when you publish your study in the journal itself, there's a little symbol next to the name of the study that indicates this data is open for anybody to look at.
All right, so there's a start there anyway. Dr. Cody Christofferson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, assistant professor of psychology at Southern Oregon University, one of the authors of Estimating the Reproducibility of Psychological Science, pointing out that people trying to replicate experiments often come up with different results. Ryan and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Ryan, are you there? Let's see. Did I push the wrong button? Let's try this again a different way. Ryan and Eugene, are you there? How about Steve?
Steve.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, it seems to me that the problem with these studies, especially in the slop sciences like psychology as opposed to physics or whatever, is that one size does not fit all. We're each individuals. We're each different from each other. And so why should you be even surprised that you're getting different results out of different people because they are different.
All right, let's pick it up there. Thanks for that, Steve.
I think this is Steve has a good question. It's a common question about psychology, which is, what's the point of being systematic about studying humans anyway? Each one of us is unique. I think that this is a common question in part perhaps because of a misunderstanding of how psychology works, which is not to say that humans are automatons, that we're all the same, but that there are predictable patterns of behavior amongst us. And that is true, that it's possible to describe a group in a meaningful way, for example. And so because of that, the pursuit is worthwhile. That said, a study like this, which can be seen, rightfully so, as a critique of psychological science as it's sort of business as usual done, leaves the door open for other approaches to psychology, including those which might embrace the subjectivity that Steve might be referring to, the subjectivity both of the researcher and of the subject and of the methods. And that requires an entirely different type of methodology, which would be sort of a qualitative methodology. That's one direction to take based on a criticism like this.
Now, let's see. We have Ryan on a different line now. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, Ryan and Eugene.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank you very much. I think this is a really critically important conversation, both because I'm the consumer of that, you know, the well-vetted knowledge, and I'm also aware that if you do a research study 20 times, you're going to really get a significant result one in 20 times. But it's more important to me, I guess, to think about, there is a marriage of the qualitative, the contextual, the narrative descriptor that research should be grounded in. And one of the disparities that I often see in studies is that they come to a novel and therefore very interesting to the media conclusion that in context doesn't make sense. And so, I think that there is a need to go back and assure that we're getting well-vetted, scientifically rigorous knowledge. And I really love the idea of this community of people who can look at data sets and reach a variety of conclusions. We collect a lot of data, and a big chunk of it remains hidden to us. It's an unfortunate waste of our, time and resources. So I commend your work. Thank you very much, and keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the comment.
Tell us about, is there a name for the community that you guys call yourselves? And is there another one that other people call you?
Sure. So officially the author of the publication is Open Science Collaboration, which is a short way of saying 270 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an ongoing project. It's based, the tool we used is something called Open Science Foundation, let's see, OSF. I'm now a little doubting myself about the name, but OSF, which is a framework where within science, any discipline can use this to organize, to organize researchers around the world. It's like a wiki type system, as well as make your data and your writings public to anybody who wants to view it on the internet.
So is one of the upshots of what you discovered here just in psychology experiments that this is a good reason to take all the news reports about great new finding in science and medicine and in drugs, whatever, with a grain of salt?
Yes. I think we've all had the experience of hearing 1 week on the news that coffee extends your life by 3 years. The next news report 3 weeks later is it destroys your life by 5 years or something. So I think this may be built into savvy news consumers already. This is even more of a reason to say, when you hear about a new study, how many labs found this result? How new is it? How open is the data before establishing how well you can trust it?
So now will there be another study that refutes what you guys have done here?
That's a great question. The data is open. So anybody can reanalyze the data. If someone were to reproduce the exact same study, that would be wonderful and would provide us with a third dot on the triangle. We have the original study, first replication, second replication. And so that is very much invited.
I have to wonder, though, about when you talk about the file drawer effect, where you stash away the stuff that didn't work that well. I mean, this is the sort of thing that drug companies are often accused of doing, where they pick the stuff that shows the value of their drug versus placebo from the best of their experiments and then chuck the other ones away or just leave them lying someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like all of science might be potentially prone to this.
Yeah, I think that's right. In the medical world, they are somewhat ahead of us. They're somewhat ahead of psychology in terms of establishing study registries. That has become important in that field because certainly this is endemic to all the complicated sciences. Well, another way of saying that might be the soft sciences, and I include biology and medicine in that.
Okay, so study registry is a good first step to get out of the that realm of stashing things that didn't prove your point, and then also just the idea of generally being open. So,
that's
I mean, are you hopeful that this will happen?
I am. I think that this, first of all, the venue that this was published in, which was Science Magazine, is very high profile. This has received tremendous media coverage already. And because of that, I am hopeful that it'll have a large impact.
All right. Cody Christopherson, Assistant Professor of Psychology at SOU. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you very much.